His way were my way. In Jude, the book of Jude, and in verse 11, the Bible says, woe unto them. Notice that exclamation point. So you should maybe give a little more woe unto them. Hopefully that didn't just blow your eardrums out if you're listening on speakers or whatever those things are called. Can't think of what they're called. What are those things called that you put in? Earbuds. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you what. Woe unto them. I mean, literally, there's an exclamation point there. There's emphasis. I just blew Brother Ravert's eardrums out. For they have gone in the way of Cain. Making note of that word, way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. That's Korah. And so we've got Cain, we've got Balaam, and we've got Korah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me not to go down any trails that you wouldn't want me to go down. Keep my mind and heart in tune with what your Spirit wants. And definitely, Lord, I don't want to preach anything on the notes unless you want it. And so please just take over now the preaching part. We know you've helped us in this hour, Lord. You've once again challenged us that there's a need for laborers. And, there's a need for laborers right here in Burnaby, in Coquitlam, and all over the lower mainland. We need laborers at Anchor Baptist Church. And, so we're thankful once again that you're challenging us to be laborers, and that the harvest is white. Lord, it would appear that there's a major groaning in this world, and that your return, the return of Jesus, is soon. While we don't know when, it does in my lifetime. I've never had this type of thing going on all at one time. And so I'm just trusting you, Lord. Heavenly Father, you know when. And we say, even so, come. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would awaken us to the error of our way. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jude verse 11, we see three examples from the Old Testament of men who did not follow God's way. We see example of three men in the Old Testament of examples of people, men, that did not follow instructions. In fact, we could say of these men that they did whatever they wanted to do. Let me just say right off the bat that if we live our life doing whatever we want to do, let me just tell you right now, it's not going to end up good. Okay? You can know all that you want to know from the Bible, but if you don't walk in the way of the Lord and you walk in your way or the way of the enemy or the way of this world, let me tell you, it is not going to end up good for you. It's not going to work together for good. These men, unfortunately, had the incorrect outlook on how to live their lives in such a way that their life would be successful. And here's the thing, every one of them had influence. I'm reminded of that every day of my life, that every one of us have influence. Their actions were speaking very loudly, very loudly. In fact, their actions came from a heart that said, I'm going to do things my way. It doesn't matter what the prophets say. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what Moses wants me to do. It doesn't matter what God is leading in. It doesn't matter. Today, here's what we would say. And you know what? You might say, I would never say that. You don't have to say it. I don't have to say it. It's how we act. It's what we do. We can say this in our actions. Doesn't matter what God says. Think about how many different things in your life, and I'll think about them in my life, and we need to be challenged by the Holy Spirit of God, where we're living in disobedience to the Lord's word. And you know what? Hey, let's be honest tonight. That's something every day that we have to examine. Are we going His way or are we going our way? His way or my way? Turn, if you will, hold your place there in Jude chapter 11. Jude 1, verse 11, and go over to Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I mean, if you think about it, as you're turning to Acts 13, you remember that the nation of Israel, they came to a place in their history early on where they said this. You remember? They said, "Hey, God, we'd like to have a king. We'd like to have a king like the pagans." In other words, the way it's going right now isn't what we like. We want it like what we want. Look at Acts 13 and verse 21. And the Bible says, "And afterward, they desired a king." Circle that word, desired. The word desired. I don't believe this is what God had for them at this time. And I was talking to someone this morning, about that verse, about God giving us the desires of our heart. And we have a free will. And as we are obedient to His way, our desires are going to line up with His desires. And you know what? God allows us to choose things, I believe, many times that are not His perfect way. But He allows us to choose that because He's given us that free will. And the Bible says here that they desired. Oh, what do you desire tonight? Do you desire on this third day of June to live your life in His way or in your way? But you don't understand. You don't understand this situation that I'm in. I have the ability to go my way because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, you don't. No, I don't. We have no out clause to go our way on any topic. We need to seek what God's way is. I need to seek what God says about this particular situation. And surely, yes, maybe it's not spelled out exactly for me, but I need to seek biblical counsel and biblical advice from His Word to know what way. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed Saul because of his disobedience, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse," now notice this, "a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all," whose will? My will. I'd circle that word, my. We've got in the beginning of verse 21, we have "they desired." That's talking about the nation of Israel. They desired a king like the pagans. And yet God says, no. I had somebody ready. I had somebody that was a man after my own heart that was going to fulfill all my will. Not what you desired, but what I desired for you. My will. May my will be done. How often do I allow this attitude of my way to find its way into my life? How often do you find this attitude creeping its way into your life? How about the relationships that we have? How often do you find this type of attitude in your marriage? Well, I'm going to have my way in this marriage. And you know what? As a husband, or ladies, as a wife, it ought to both of us, the husband and the wife, ought to both be saying, you know what? We want God's way in this marriage. I want God's way in this relationship. I want God's way in this particular situation that I'm working through with my husband or with my wife. I don't want a marriage that's filled with my way, my way, my way. No, I want God's way in this marriage relationship. Believe me, if you have the attitude that it's your way in the marriage, it's not going to be a pleasant thing. It's not going to be very pleasant. It's not going to be pleasing, more important, to the Lord. How about our relationships in our parenting with our children? How about your relationship, kids, teenagers, children? Boy, I tell you what, let's not make excuses, over these last several weeks and different things, our schedules and all of this. God has given us a plan to follow. No, it's not what do I want? It's not my way. It's what does God have for me? Maybe it's in your place of employment. Maybe it's in the local church. You know what? I want my way at Anchor Baptist Church. By the way, I'll say it later on, I think. I'll remember to. It's not my church. It's not your church. I said that the other day. It's the Lord's church. It's not what do I want in Anchor Baptist Church. It's what does God want at Anchor Baptist Church. You could look at friendships, relationships, all of this. May God help us as His children to have an attitude that says, God, what is your way in this? What's your will? What do you have for me? Okay, let's open up our Bibles now to the beginning of our Bibles, and let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 4. All right, Genesis chapter 4. Here we find the beginning of the family. We have Moses. We have Adam and Eve, and we have the first person ever born. Can you believe it? Here we go, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare, here it is, Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And then Abel was born. So the first person ever born was Cain, his parents, Adam and Eve. And then the Bible says, and in the process of time, it came to pass, verse 3, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And so we see that Cain brought something of his handiwork, something that he produced. It grew in the garden. Yes, God helped that garden to grow. But we see the beautiful picture in Abel's offering that it represented a blood sacrifice. And the picture is there. That's not the message for tonight. But it obviously goes a long way into why Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was not. The Bible says, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Notice, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. See, Cain brought a sacrifice of Cain's own choosing. Cain brought a sacrifice his way. His way, rejecting God's way of worship. His way, rejecting God's way of revelation. His way, rejecting the word of God. His way, dominated by self-will. Cain would have it his way. Cain went with instinct. He went with my way. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:4, and Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain would have it Cain's way. This is the way I'm going to do it, and it's going to be my way. In other words, Cain was saying, this is my sacrifice, and it's how it's going to be. And you think about it today, in 2020, we have so many people that say this is the way to God. And yet God says there's only one way to me. And that's my sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb. You know, I saw something very beautiful in this text. I may have seen it before, but I really noticed it this time. Look at verse 7, please. The Bible says, if thou doest well. Verse 6, let's read 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Now, this happens before murder, okay? So Cain brings an offering. God rejects it. Cain gets mad. He gets angry. Abel brings an offering. God accepts it. God challenges Cain. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And so the reason why we can surmise from this that Cain was full of self-will is because of the way Cain responded. Because of the way Cain acted to God, he showed himself. Notice, though, what God says in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I really believe that God, again, maybe I'm wrong here. I'm not going to build a mountain on this, what I'm about to say. But I really believe that God is giving Cain another opportunity to do right. Notice he says, if thou doest well. In other words, if you'll do it my way, or this is probably one of the reasons why his pride was so bad. In other words, if you'll do it like Abel did, what does he say? Shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, God can't accept everyone's way to God. If God accepted everyone's way to God, then God's not perfect, God's not holy, because of course, sinful man is going to come up with all kinds of ways to get to God. I believe God, in his mercy, comes to Cain. Cain is mad, Cain is ticked off, Cain is angry. Why? Because Cain's full of Cain. Because Cain is self-willed, because Cain is full of pride. And God says, hey, Cain, what's wrong? What gives? Why are you so upset? Cain, if you'll do right, won't you be accepted? I believe God is saying, Cain, you have a chance here. You have a chance to make matters right. But you know what? Cain didn't do that. We know that. Look at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, we don't know how long this was, but it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up of Abel's brother and slew him. Wow, isn't this something? The way of Cain. And so because of Cain's self-will and because of Cain's pride, his whole family now is marked by this event, and you can read that for yourself. But don't lose sight of the fact that God came to Cain and said, Cain, you got a second chance. Boy, isn't God the God of mercy? We have a God of mercy. But isn't it amazing that even in a merciful God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that in 2020, we have people who dare to shake their fist at a holy God, blame God for their sinful choices, blame God for their lifestyle, blame God for the result of sin, and shake a fist at God, and God in his mercy is saying, you know what? If you'll just come to my son, Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. If you'll just come my way, I'll accept you. Notice, wilt thou not be accepted? Bible, doesn't the Bible say somewhere in the New Testament that he will in no wise cast us out? I think it's in the New Testament. I know it's in the Bible somewhere. Reference just escapes me. I believe that's a great picture here, that even though Cain sinned, God said, Cain, if you'll do right, if you'll follow my way, you'll be accepted. There's a great chance for everyone here tonight that's listening. You might be listening and you might not be on your way to heaven. Let me tell you something tonight. Let me encourage you. You're breathing, you're alive, that's good. That means God is saying to you tonight, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. If you will come by the way of the cross, if you will come by the way of my son, you can be accepted. I will not reject the way of my son. It doesn't matter how bad your background is. It doesn't matter how stained your record is. You can have it clean tonight by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see number one, Cain. And Cain went his way. Let's turn over to Numbers 22, please. Numbers 22 and Numbers 22, and we're going to see our second example. These are Jude 11 is where we found these three fellas. And now we see the examples laid out for us. Numbers chapter 22, and now we see a man by the name of Balaam. Balaam with an M. Okay? And let's look at verse number 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam. Balaam, this is the Balaam that we read about in Jude 11. The son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Verse 6, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. I would encourage you to take time and read this account in Numbers chapter 22 and on. We're going to look at some other passages. So, what happens here is Balak is the king, not Balaam. Balaam is the one who he's contacting, okay? Basically, Balaam, in other words, I would say he is a prophet for hire. Okay? He is now, Balak is sent a group of people to Balaam, the prophet, and he's seeking to hire his services. He's heard through the grapevine that anybody Balaam curses is cursed or blesses is blessed. And so now he's offering Balaam, Balak is offering Balaam some kind of an amount of money. And Balaam goes to God one time after another. God, what would you have me to do? And again, you can read the story. It's very evident to me that Balaam had a great problem. Balaam's problem was that he was a covetous man. He was a covetous man. He wants to get wealth his way. Instead of taking a stand and being and taking a stand for God and getting blessed of God, he wants to be given money in his own way. Turn over to Numbers 24. Numbers 24. Let's dig into this just a little bit more. Numbers 24. And verse 25. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Verse 20, chapter 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Turn over to chapter 31. This is all under the watch, if you will, of Balaam. And again, Balaam is someone who represents wanting his wealth his way. His wealth his way. Look at Numbers chapter 31 and look at verse number 16. This is piecing these all together. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of who? Balaam. Balaam. Remember, Balaam had influence. Balaam had influence. Balaam, the prophet of God, had influence over the people. Because of the counsel of Balaam, what happened? To commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. That's back to what we were just talking about. We read in Numbers 24, 25, up to verse 2 of chapter 25. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. And so here we have my way, number two, is Balaam. Balaam's way is a covetous way. Balaam's way is whatever works for Balaam. In other words, we could say this, that Balaam was kind of like a chameleon of a prophet. He would blend in, say what people wanted him to say, not say what people wanted him to say. Let's keep looking. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't forget Balaam. Don't forget that name. 2 Peter chapter 2. My way or God's way? Your way or God's way? Cain said, my way to God is through my effort, my sacrifice. God said, no, that's not how it works. You come to me through my sacrifice, my way. Balaam said, I'm going to get wealth my way. I'm going to be a people pleaser. Hey, there's nothing wrong with trying to please one another and encourage one another, but not at the expense of leading a whole nation of people to worshiping and false god like Baal Peor. And think about it. Now, okay, you say, Pastor Turner, I'm not a prophet. I'm not even a pastor. You're the pastor, so this is just for you. No, I believe we're talking about, when you think about Balaam, you think about a spiritual leader, right? He's a spiritual leader. You know what he did? He led people the wrong way. Let's see what God had Peter write about it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, which have forsaken the right way. Right way. I'd circle that. Maybe even underline it or circle it. And are gone astray. Do you see that? When we forsake the right way, what happens? We go astray. When we forsake God's way of being a husband, we go astray. Being a wife, being a child in the home, being a church member, being a pastor, yes, an under-shepherd, whatever hats we wear tonight, we don't want to forsake God's way. When you forsake God's way, you go astray. Notice, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved. That's a key word in this verse. The wages of unrighteousness. He loved the payment of doing wrong. Isn't that a sad, sad summary of this prophet's life? We say the wages of sin, the word wage means payment. Unrighteousness, doing wrong. He loved the payment of doing wrong. And you know what? It didn't just affect Balaam. It affected the whole nation of Israel, who was looking to him for spiritual leadership, who was looking to him for spiritual guidance. I want to encourage you, dad and mom, tonight. You have children that are looking to you for spiritual leadership. They are looking to you. They are looking to you to guide them in the right way. How many times have the wages of unrighteousness got in the way of bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Don't allow that job to take the place of the responsibility that we have of training our children and providing godly leadership. And look, it doesn't matter if you have X amount of money in the bank and have all of your children away from God and your marriage away from God. And by the way, you can have money in the bank and have a godly home. I'm not saying the two don't go hand in hand. I'm just saying Balaam is someone who was more concerned with the blessings of unrighteousness than he was in standing for truth. And he led a nation to worship a false god like Baal. Think about it. Who are you leading tonight? Who do you lead? Who is it that you lead? How are you leading them? We see Cain. We see Balaam. And let's see one more. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. We go back to Numbers. And we see the example of Korah. Numbers chapter 16. So we have Cain. And Cain, if you're writing notes, Cain represents my sacrifice. My sacrifice. And then we have Balaam, and Balaam represents my wealth. My wealth. In other words, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be wealthy, to be advancing financially speaking. And then, what about Korah tonight? Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of who? Levi. This is the grandson of Levi. And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On. That's an interesting name, isn't it? On. Not off, but on. Okay. The son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, there you go, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So Kohath and Abiram and Dathan and On gather 250 men, Kohath being the leader. It would appear that Kohath was the leader. They gather up 250 men. And by the way, this wasn't that they were gathering up 250 men to congratulate Moses, to pat him on the back and thank him for his leadership and say, "We're with you all the way, Moses." That's not what it's talking about when they rose up before Moses. There was the challenge being made here. Look what it says. And they gathered themselves together, notice, against Moses. Make note of that. Against Moses and against who? Aaron. Who were Moses and Aaron? Moses and Aaron were God's leaders for the people. So we could say this, Moses and Aaron were the authority over Korah, over Dathan, over Abiram, over On, over all the people. Okay? But yet they rose up against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them. Now it sounds like they really are concerned at first. Ye take too much upon you. Notice this, though. This is an interesting statement. Seeing all the congregation are holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Who do you think you are? Who made you in charge? Well, God did. And he didn't ask that. But here's what they're saying. Here's what they're saying. We do not need you. That's the Turner translation of the Bible says there that all the congregation are holy. We have the Lord, you know, trying to sound like Billy Bible here, trying to sound super spiritual. And yet God had clearly had Moses to be in charge and Aaron. They were leading the people. Look at verse 8. And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" Stop right there. God had, this was an important family. Korah had been called out. He was of the tribe of Levi. God had given him a high and holy responsibility. Verse number 9, verse 10. And he hath brought thee near to him. What's your problem, Korah? God separated you. God's given you a job to do. And notice, and he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against who? The Lord. Wow. Talk about new level. Earlier it said they were against Moses and Aaron. Moses says, no, 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 you're not against me. You're against God. You're against Jehovah. Notice capital L-O-R-D. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And wow, what a powerful passage of Scripture. Korah, he was a man of strong influence. Korah, the Bible says that they were, notice it says there, they were famous. Verse 2. They were men of renown. You know, these were men that had things going for them. But you know what? It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. For Korah, I've labeled Korah my rebellion. My rebellion. They were unwilling to submit to the spiritual authority, and their rebellion was open. Let's look at verse 11 once again. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Korah, we do not need you, Moses. We do not need you, Aaron. Tonight, God has put spiritual authority in your life. By the way, God has put spiritual authority in my life. Okay? Yes, I'm the under shepherd. But I have spiritual authority in my life. Every one of us, as God's children, we have the spiritual authority of our life is the Word of God. The Word of God. When I go my way and allow rebellion to come in, I want to tell you something. I want to really cause you to meditate and think about this. I am doing it against the Lord. It is not against my dad or my mom or my teacher or my youth pastor or my pastor or my Sunday school teacher or whoever it is. Yes, it might be them, but more importantly, as Moses said, Korah, you're rebelling against the Lord. And I want to challenge us as a church tonight, when we decide to go against what this book says, you are saying, I am saying, we are saying that it is, I am rebelling against God. When the Bible says that I'm supposed to be a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church and I don't, do you know what that is? That is rebellion against God. When a wife is not willing to submit to her husband as unto the Lord, and a husband to the wife as unto the Lord. And a child is not willing to obey his parent and honor his father and mother. And if we're dishonest and we're lying and cheating and all, I mean, on and on it goes. And you could name all kinds of sins and bitterness, and we're backbiting and we're gossiping, and all of these things are challenged in the Word of God. Pride, and we're allowing it just to run wild. I want you to know something, that like Korah, we're saying, yeah, I'm rebellious. It's my rebellion. What God has allowed me to experience, it's not enough. I want more. And Korah said that. He says, we don't need you. Everybody's already holy. Right. He was full of himself. Oh, tonight, church, may we not go in this way of my sacrifice. And if you're saved tonight, I know that you've already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank God for that. But maybe you're listening still, and you say, Pastor Turner, I've never been saved. I'm trusting in rubbing some beads or some baptism waters or just going to church, maybe even going to Anchor Baptist Church. I thought I was saved because I'm going to church. I read my Bible. No, that's Cain's way. That's not God's way. Possibly tonight, you've allowed the love of money to control your life. Maybe tonight you're not tithing. Why wouldn't somebody tithe? I'll say this. I don't know why somebody wouldn't tithe completely, but I have one idea, that because they love money. See, love of money is the root of all evil. Don't allow the riches of this world, and don't allow the things that are material. Look, God is able to take care of you. God is able to take care of me on 90% of my income. You should be a tither. This is you've got to talk to God about this. You should be a tither by conviction, not because the pastor told you to, because the Word of God says to. Tithe, 10% of your income belongs to the Lord. Don't be rebellious and say, no, that's the Old Testament. Tithe was before the law. Don't start using that type of thing. The tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. We pay the tithe. We give our offering. Look, and if you're bristling right now, you know what that is? It's rebellion. It's not against me. It's against the Lord. By the way, don't you want the devourer rebuked in your life? That's what He does when we tithe. He rebukes the devourer. Nincora, my rebellion. Let me just give you some some closing statements. I could probably give you some clothing too, I guess. Several reminders quickly. As born-again Christians, we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. As Christians, we are not our own. Number two, Anchor Baptist Church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:18, we quoted it on Sunday. I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Number three, God desires to make our way perfect. My way or God's way? 2 Samuel 22:33. Jot the reference down. I have it here. I'm going to read it. God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. You know why? Because I've allowed God to be in control of my way. Big difference. Surrender your way to God tonight, and God will make it. Psalm 18:32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. I love this. I love this. These last two verses. Because to me, we could be convicted and challenged. And now here's the edification from the Lord. Hey, if you give me your way, I'm going to make it perfect. Then my way will be right, because I've allowed God to lead in it. My life is not mine to rule over. I must submit to my Heavenly Father. His will, I must do. His will is always in line with His word. Anchor Baptist Church is not ours to control, it is the Lord's. When we choose our way over God's way, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment and failure. Tonight, church, tonight, whoever's listening, allow God to have your way, okay? And then he will make your way